Hello, 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 everybody. This is Brandon Luna with Calypso Cigar Review Podcast, episode 216. And I have a special guest today for our IPCPR recap, Philip Fullman with Cigar Lounge out of Dallas-Fort Worth.
Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, thanks for coming out and hanging out with me, man.
It's my first podcast.
It is your first podcast ever?
My first podcast. So
that's awesome. I feel
not,
so honored.
Not only my first IPCPR, first podcast.
Yeah?
So
that's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah.
I feel honored to have you be on the show as the first podcast.
I'm just honored to be asked.
And we are at one of his shops, the Cigar Lounge in Plano. Used to be Sir Elliott's. Now it's the Cigar Lounge. And this location is right smack dab in a shopping center with a lot of cool stuff. You got Chick-fil-A here. You got
McDonald's,
Total Wine.
The Mexican restaurant. I can never remember the name.
On the border.
Yeah, that's on the border, it. Yeah. That's it. PJ Superstore, which when we're trying to give direction to the shop, it's like, it's by the PJ Superstore. Like, oh, I got it.
That's the golf place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Then they're able to.
Texans like their golf, man.
Well, yeah, because you can golf year-round.
Yeah, I know. It's freaking hot as hell right now, though. I would hate golfing.
They'd still
right now.
Go out there. They'll go out in the morning.
Mark and those guys, I bet they.
I don't play, so yeah. I totally don't get it. I don't want to do anything outside when it's this hot, but
yeah,
some guy, if they get the itch for it. I like being on the course and caddying and smoking cigars because it's nice and quiet. It's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I can't hit a golf ball to save my life.
I could at one point. I did golf in high school, and I was pretty good at it, and then I just got bored. Like, with everything, I start something, and then I get bored with it, and just,
Are you going to get bored in the middle of the show?
Oh, yeah, I'll walk out, yeah. That's what I do. I get really...
Oh, no, that's fair. I mean, I just don't want to take it personal. I'll be like, oh, no, that's
I start things I'm really good at. I'm like, he's a natural, and then just, I'm done.
It's like, you know what? I kind of got hungry. So
216 episodes into this, I'm about to...
Congrats on that, by the way.
Yeah, that's a lot of episodes.
That's
a lot of episodes, yeah.
So, are we, like, right on the edge of boredom? Like, 216,
right,
like...
I want to get to an even number.
And then stop.
And then, so, like, you know, in the two.
So if I'd have caught you, like, at 220, it'd have been like, but I just, no.
Or it'll turn, it's turning into something else anyway. I mean, the show used to be a straight-up cigar review show.
Right.
Then it became guys talking about guy talking a cigar shop, and now it's we barely even review cigars, but people still listen. So, you know, if it turns into a movie review show, that's fine. If it turns into just geeks talking about comic books and stuff like that, I'm fine with that as well.
See, those are all three things I enjoy. Cigars, movies, and comic book stuff.
Yeah.
So
you never know. It'll probably turn into that. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know where the show's going to go. It might call it something else.
But
might stay
organic,
with the same
which name. Which is beautiful because it's not this, hey, it has to be one certain thing. We're stretching. We don't know what we're going to talk about. It's like, it just comes natural.
Yeah. That's the great thing about podcasts in general is that they are very organic. It's not, you don't have like a set playlist of what you have to do and you have to discuss this and it's not the same every day and it's, you know, it's very fluid and it's just about what you want to talk about.
And you don't have to read PSAs.
Exactly. And if people listen, great. If people don't, who cares? You do it for fun. It's really,
you know,
that's what it's for.
Stupid spots.
Yeah.
So remember, we had talked earlier about, I worked in radio for a while.
Correct,
one of the owners, it was a small AM station, one of the owners had moved and he did a trade for everything in his house. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter. He worked a trade. So we're running commercials for carpentry, just all of this stuff. So he gets it for free. So I get copy handed to me for Sarabia's Portable Johns.
Wow.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, how am I supposed to read this with a straight face?
Wait, like a porta potty?
Yes.
What the hell does he need a porta potty for?
For the construction workers on the house.
Wow.
They had to go out. I'm like, he's doing it. But you can't come up with the money for that? And so
awesome.
I had to, and I kept saying no. And my boss was like, yeah, this one's you. I'm not doing it. Son of a, like, come on.
So did you guys just write copy, or did you actually produce?
We did everything.
Radio
the station was so small, and you know, when it's like, hey, we've got a 4-track. We did all the production in the studio over in Q.
Okay.
So if we hit the switch wrong, we would go over the signal, and people would hear us recording the spot.
Oh no!
So we had to make sure we, you know, push the toggle to the left.
Yeah.
So that it was in Q, and then we recorded everything in that. But, no, we had to do the music bed under us.
Mm.
So we had to set levels in our headphones so that we could see where the music was according to our voice and then start the music and start the spot.
Wow.
It was very...
Yeah, it sounds kind of bass-ackwards a little bit. But
in my day, when we were
backward hours in radio. No,
that's, I mean, I was now, cutting now tape. Now we're sitting here and, with like, wax pencil and the razor blade. And
I did all that stuff,
And now I'm looking at your setup. I'm like, I don't know how this works.
Yeah. And we can do it live, too. I mean, we've done live episodes, too, where you can go and go straight out live. So.
Nice.
Last year at IPCPR, we tried to do that a couple times, but I was in the booth, so it didn't really happen a lot. But it's pretty amazing what you can. What
I
you
remember
can do
you
nowadays.
Telling me you said I'm not going to get out of the booth.
Oh yeah, no,
I'll
no,
be
no.
There
no.
All.
So interesting thing about Phil. This is his first IPCPR. He's now a newly acquired management in a series of stores. He's got three shops here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you're in the area, definitely check him out. One in Plano, one in Frisco. One in Plano, one in Dallas, one in McKinney.
The Plano shop, we're like right there. Yeah. It's like if you go like 20 feet that way, you're in Frisco.
Exactly.
It's
Plano, so. I always consider this Frisco, but really it's Plano.
It feels like Frisco,
It feels like Frisco. It's across the street to Frisco.
No, that's where the Giant Mall is.
Exactly. Giant Mall, more expensive cars. Plano's the old Frisco, basically. So, yeah.
Well, so a friend of mine is in town from Holland, mm-hmm. and he brought his daughter. Okay. And one of the first places they went was Stonebriar. She's 16.
Oh, God.
And I'm guessing they have no malls like that in Holland. Mm-hmm. And she was just like vapor locked. She overwhelmed. Wait. Like, what do I look at first?
Was this the first day of the trip?
Yeah.
So he went home because he has no money now, right? pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, and the beautiful thing is he's in Holland. So all the cigars they get are from a country that we've just reestablished.
Oh, okay.
Relations with
Nicaragua,
no, I'm just kidding.
Honduras.
It?
Nobody buys
from
there anymore.
It's been what, 50 years?
It's
90
miles.
It's like 90 miles off
from,
of
yeah,
the coast
I got
of Florida.
You, yeah.
But you know, they're legal for him.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he brings them here, that's legal because they're his cigars.
Gotcha.
And then if he and I happen to trade cigars because he can't get something that's Dominican, like, oh, that works out. So. Plus, doing your part to, look, the peace process.
Exactly. It's definitely part of the peace process, yeah.
I'm nothing if not a patriot. I can spin this shit any way you want to make it sound right. I'm in sales, Brandon. You know what I mean.
Ditto. So this was my second year going to the show. First year with PDR. Last year was with a smaller independent company called CZ Cigars or Core Zero Cigars.
Okay.
So last year, big difference. From last
year
was, I was in Vegas last year. And it was from a single, like maybe four, we had like one table, four chairs, one of those slide up little things, you know. Mm. Great guys, love them. Got to see them this year and they were still out there, which is awesome. But totally different show. I mean, from that to where, you know, we had sales, we did good, but we had times where there was downtime.
You just go wander.
Walk
the floor.
You know, walk around, see the whole floor. We were kind of in the area, like, last year, you didn't get to see this. It was horrible. But last year at the show, they had so many booths that they were just letting anybody in. So they had massage guys there selling these, like, machines that, like, Bruce Lee would use in the 70s, like a shock therapy massage thing. Yeah, like foot massage deals. Like, these, here's some sandals you can plug in and they'll massage your feet. Like, serious weird shit.
They had those chairs there.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was for, hey, you're tired of walking, or, hey, put these in your shop.
Yeah.
They had the lady selling smoking jackets, which mm-hmm. were nice.
They're very cool, yeah, very
but
cool.
I keep thinking, when am I going to wear one?
Well, if you, you know, if you're Hefner, yeah.
Well, but I mostly smoke at the house.
Exactly.
And it's like, so who cares? And it's like, well, you know, they're designed to keep
if we do the
ash
thing,
from hitting you.
If we do the thing we talked about earlier, which we'll keep off the air because that's going to be our thing, then you would wear your smoking jacket there.
See? That would work.
That would be cool.
That's a good point.
So,
you're right.
For those listening, you don't know what we're talking about, but if you're in the DFW area, it's coming soon. It's going to be awesome. You'll see.
There you go.
Yeah, so the first show was just weird. We were kind of backed up next to all that weird stuff. We had a machine, a guy that did lighters next to us, and then a guy that had what I could only say was a twerking machine, because it basically you got on it, and it supposedly was supposed to shake your back to align your spine. But all it really did was make your ass move a lot.
Was it like those things they had in the 70s where the giant belt went around
you? It didn't have the belt. It just,
and you
it's just
stood
like,
there and it...
It was basically like that, but it didn't have the belt. You stood there and these 2 feet things went up and down and it just shook your spine. And it really, I mean, my back cracked. It was like, this is awesome. But the best thing was all the girls that were there, you know, all the booth girls would go over there and get on it, and it was quite the show for
us. I can imagine.
So,
and so everybody. So there was a crowd at that
point. There was a crowd at that point. Imagine not that. At our booth, but at the,
but yeah,
the booty shaking booth, yeah. So, but this year there wasn't that, so it was a totally different thing. What did
now,
you
is,
think?
I thought...
I'm going to light my cigar, by the way. I have the soapbox from Dissident. I got a Lancero from them. One of the few cigars I got.
And remind me again, because I tore the label off. This is one of yours. This
it is.
The Sungrown.
Yeah, Sungrown of the Abe Flores Gran Reserva.
And I'm still smoking this, because you gave this to me way earlier in the day. And I haven't had a chance to finish it. But it's good. It's not one I wanted to set down.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird, because I thought the show was huge. And a lot of people told me, no, you know, compared to Vegas... It's nothing, or it's more spread out than Vegas. It's more compact, so it looks like fewer people. Regardless, I was still overwhelmed. Maybe it was just the amount of walking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of work that went into that. And looking at some of those booths, and I had talked to one guy, and they said, no, we have a construction crew come in, and they have to do this and just because it's so elaborate. And then one rep told me, no, they brought us all in on Monday, and we had to build this. And I'm like, well, that sucks. And then, like you said, you had the small guys with, hey, we've got a couple of cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tried to make it out to some of those. Because you never know. There's diamonds in the rough.
There's a lot of those.
You know, and then some of them, it's like, it is going to suck.
Yeah.
But, I found a couple of good ones. I was overwhelmed. From a job perspective or what my duties are, I was overwhelmed just figuring out, okay, what's the best way to go in with your orders? You know, how do you figure out the deals? Things like that.
Mm.
It was just, okay, how do I structure this? And I wasn't really aware of how the deals worked. And then I could, look for a good deal. I'm like, well, define that for me, because I know what I think it is, but... what do you think it is? So next year going in, it's going to be a lot easier for me, because I'm going to have everything written down so I can go in and just be like, boom, here it is. Because I didn't get a lot of time. I told you earlier, I was the guy who kept getting bumped. Like, hey, we need we need another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And would do that. But, you know, it was a fun experience, too, because I'm kind of a cigar geek.
Yeah, me too.
So I really enjoyed just kind of seeing even the stupid stuff that was out there. It was like, that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a device for everything.
There really is.
There's one, I can't think of the name of it, but it's plastic. You drop just like a cheapo lighter inside, put the top on, and then it turns it into a torch. So
that's
it's TSA approved.
Yeah.
So you don't have to take your lighter, and then when you get wherever you're going, buy a cheap Bic, drop it in.
And it turns it into a torch. That's
cool. It was in, I think they advertised it in Cigar Press.
Oh, really?
At one point. And that was one thing I didn't do, is I didn't get to the magazine booths.
Yeah.
And I wanted to. More so just, hey, do you guys ever freelance?
Right.
But I just kind of wanted to meet some of those guys and get a feel for them. But, man, I was amazed at how much work. And, I mean, maybe it's because the last trade show I went to, you know, we were doing HR payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the guy with the little banner you put up, and here's the table, and it's at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And this.
It's ridiculous.
It really is. I mean, they're like little worlds.
That's exactly what
it is. You know,
the
big sign. It's like, where did you? And one of the reps told me, he goes, we put this in storage every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is amazing.
Yep.
And you guys had a sweet booth.
Drew Estate brings the freaking bridge with them. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know.
Yeah, that was like, really, dude. Is it? Swear to God, dude, velvet rope.
Yeah.
There was
a velvet
rope at the end. Like, come on, seriously.
Yeah.
That's a bit much. I mean, I like your cigars, but
it's pretty crazy, man.
I guess there's that type of fanboy.
There is.
Type stuff. Some of the booths they were spread out.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's a lot of space, but you had room to maneuver, and it wasn't so compact.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, okay, it's really not that much stuff.
Yeah.
And then some, it was just, wow, you have packed literally as much as you could in here, and there's no room to walk.
Yeah.
And those were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, now I'm bumping into people.
I think sometimes they do that to I guess as the passersby would think that that booth is really busy, but it's not necessarily all that busy. It's just that there's so little space to kind of maneuver that
these five guys are making it look super
exactly,
busy.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's interesting. I mean, that one of the things I like to do on the show is bring a little bit different perspective to people, because we're not like every show out there. We don't just talk about cigars. We don't review a specific cigar each week. And you know, a lot of shows when they do their IPCPR reboot or recaps, it's mostly getting the guys who were there for social media, getting their perspective of, you know, what cigars they like the best, what booths really stood out to them, what they think the good cigars are going to be for the year. And being that I'm in the industry working for PDR as a regional sales rep, and being that he's actually at a shop as a manager, totally different perspective than those guys. So
yeah, that's...
So that's one of the neat things about...
Because they're going there with a critical eye, and I'm going there with, you know, like I said, the idea of like, okay, I got to find deals. Let me see what we want to bring in. I was kind of amazed at one booth in particular that was just swarming with people, and they're like, we don't have time to talk. We don't, a newer brand.
Yeah.
And their attitude towards new customers, like, dude, really? Have you sold that many already? You've got so many. Mm-hmm. And I think what it came down to was he didn't want to say, yeah, we don't have that much tobacco.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like now, it's like, just say that. Make it a short batch or a small batch or something.
Yeah.
But it came across as this, no, we don't know if we want to be in your store. Like, oh, not that guy.
Yeah. There's some of that. I mean, and I get it from a retailer's perspective, especially if you've got a lot of shops real close to each other. I get it. I mean, I have that from some of my shops where they say, well, if you sell to us, please don't sell to them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from that perspective, you can flip it on them and say, okay, well, all right, tell you what, I'll do that, but I want you to take everything else off the shelf and just sell my cigar. Mm. And what are they going to say? Well, I can't do that. And why would you want me to do that?
Right.
You know, why would you want me to not sell to everybody that I can sell to?
Yeah, and the thing is, one of the things, and one of the hard things in the transition going into management from cigar tending was not being able to work the humidor and talk to customers as much and find out, you know, what their tastes are and what they smoke. But, you know, the question is always, hey, what in here is good?
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's all good, except for the flavored stuff. But it's
how do you really feel?
Can't stand flavored stuff. But some people love it. So
you know, it's there for...
Who am I to judge?
You're smoking cigars, I'm a friend.
There you go. But, you
just
know,
don't smoke
it's all
here.
Good. Yeah, just smoke it outside. It's just going to depend on your taste, because there's cigars that are popular that a lot of guys love and swear by, and then I'll smoke it and it leaves me just I don't get the hype.
Yeah.
But then I'll smoke one, I'm like, this is one of the best things ever, and they're like, yeah, I didn't even like it at all.
Yeah.
So it's all good, but it's just going to depend on what you like in the humidor.
Yeah.
It's
very palate based, and I think that goes
with
alcohol. You can say that about beers. You can say that about wines. You can say that about booze as well. It's just, you know, it's one of those artisan products that is built towards a certain audience, and not everybody is the same audience. You know, so it's really weird.
Well, the palate's different depending on what you've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the cigar reviews I'll read on flavor and stuff, what you're tasting, I don't put a lot of credence in them, for whatever reason. So I started reading on chefs.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me.
No problem. It's a podcast.
No, it's live.
Yeah.
How chefs do it, sommeliers,
mm-hmm.
and what all is involved.
What does Samoans have to do with this? Sommeliers. It's for those that don't know, it's the guys that do all the wine stuff.
They're like the wine version of a cigar tender.
Exactly.
Basically. I'll tell you why I came up with that term in a minute, because people are like, why do you call yourself that?
I like it. It's a good term.
But the palate is, I think, you can taste five things: salty, sweet, sour, bitter, and then savory, which I'm like, I've never had a savory.
Things,
like a savory cigar. I have no point of reference. But that's all taste, but where you get flavor is the olfactory senses, or the sense of smell.
Yeah, big time.
And you combine that with the taste buds, that's when you start picking up notes of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've noticed that my sinus really plays, you know, if I've got, like when you have a cold and you can't taste anything,
yeah.
It's the same. If your hay fever, your allergies are bad, you're not going to get the same thing out of a cigar. So when I want to try something really, really good, I'll do it early in the morning with just water, not even coffee, because I know that's going to just coat my tongue.
Yeah.
So I avoid that as well. But yeah, I mean that, and hint, you may like something nobody else does. I hate Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I love Brussels sprouts.
See?
There roasted you go. Brussels sprouts.
But I like beets.
Yeah, I don't like beets.
Nobody likes beets. I sell them, but I don't
know. My wife likes beets, so yeah.
Oh, there whatever. You go.
Yeah. It's one of those things. We get them in the house every once in a while, and I'm like, ah.
The beat goes on.
Yeah,
wow,
it does.
That was
very punny.
Yeah.
Very punny. So we're going to take a little break. We'll come back for the second, third, talk more about the show and some other stuff. New Orleans, because, hey, it was there, and we were there when we were, and it was shitty. Anyway, we'll be back. All right, we're back for the second, third. I am smoking the Dissonant Soapbox. It does not taste like soap. I don't know why they called it that. Or a box.
Because so. Once you smoke it, you're going to get on your soapbox and tell everybody about it.
That's probably it. There's a really cool band on this. It's actually got some tennis shoes on it. And these guys are actually a true boutique cigar. They own a shop over in Wichita, Kansas.
Nice.
And they produce this and one other cigar. Very good stuff. If you've never heard of it, check it out.
And they were at the show?
Yep, they were at the show. Yeah. So I'm back with Philip Fullman. And he's hanging in there for Randy Rankin today because Randy could not be here. So he is on the road doing his AJ Fernandez thing.
Oh.
Did you get to try the new AJ Fernandez?
Yes, the name of which I can't remember.
Enclave.
Yeah, and tried that. We're hanging out in his booth. Actually did one of our videos. You've seen him, but anybody who hasn't. Do videos with the reps, promote the stick, talk about that we're bringing them in.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm a ham.
Yeah.
But Todd Vance did one. We talked about the Enclave.
Yeah.
And
you got Todd Vance.
Yeah.
Mr. Happy.
Yeah. he's You've just never seen. I've never seen Todd grumpy.
I've never seen Todd not smiling. Always smiling.
It was the. Did you get a chance to make it to their booth when you escaped?
Yeah, it's cool.
It was set up like a little house.
I think everybody
was just in there. Just everybody I knew was like, yeah, we're going to Todd's booth. You know, they'd place the order, but it's like, yeah, I can relax there, sit on the couch. So that was kind of like where a lot of the guys I knew just ended up loitering, if you will.
Yeah, Randy told me about that. He's like, people kept coming in and hanging out. Like, get the hell out of here. We got people coming in here.
We're trying to sell cigars, sir.
It's like, I'm trying to smoke one. Shut up.
Yeah, it was, and they had Hershey's Kisses they were giving out. So
yeah, we had those too.
Chocolate and yeah, you did. I ate a couple. And,
yeah,
and I actually napped in your. I didn't nap.
Because you were waiting for me. I was just busy.
It was a stage photo, and
okay.
Because I didn't eat lunch, and I was telling Josh, I was like, I'm about to pass out. I said, I swear, I've got to go eat. I'm just dead. I was ready to just like. Say, screw it. I don't want to buy anything. I'm leaving.
Right.
I'm going home now. But just the walking, and then all of a sudden, it's like, it's 2 o'clock. I forgot to eat.
Yeah.
So.
You had your little food tickets, right?
Yeah, I lost. I forgot the one for, what was the second day? Sunday.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, hell. So I ended up, I forget what I ate. Hell, I may not have ate Sunday.
I didn't eat.
Oh,
so,
I didn't. No, one day all I had was beignets at Café Du Monde.
Mm.
And I realized when I sat down, I was like, this is the first time today I've had anything.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah, and beignets are okay.
They're good.
They're not, everybody makes it sound like, you know.
They're the best thing ever. No.
They're good, but not kill a guy good.
Yeah, no. They're definitely not kill a guy
Café good. Café au lait. You give me the right guy. If he deserves it, I'd kill him. I'd kill him for a cafe. So I tanked like 3 cups, and it's like I'm never going to sleep now. So ended up out at the pool smoking cigars. And
nice.
Security comes out, and it's like, the pool's closed. I'm like, I called the front desk. I got permission, as long as there was no pool activity and just sitting, that it was fine.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's, hey, you smoke cigars, and then you start going into questions.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
You know, doing the cigar tending thing.
Cigar tending. So, is that something you invented, or did you hear it? Or
you know what? It bugs me because I thought I came up with the term, and so I Googled it, and then I found out some other people have used it, but it didn't stop me from putting it on a shirt.
Yeah.
But I came up with it because there were there was a shirt that one of the reps gave out, and on the sleeve it says tobacconist. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't fit. And I'm like, I'm not really a tobacconist, because if you're going to ask me what part of the leaf, the soil, I don't know. But if you get me into the humidor and you start asking me about how does it taste, is it, you know, this is what I've smoked before, then I'm more in my wheelhouse. It's like, okay, if you like this, you'll enjoy this. If you've smoked this, you're not going to like this. And trying to match things up. And, of course, you know, you just kibitz with the customers and talk. So it's more like a bartender with cigars. So I kind of came up with cigar tender.
Yeah.
And
it's a good term. I like it.
I'm trying to get it to stick.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully, like I said, I don't know if anybody's copyrighted it yet, but it's on a couple of websites. But that's the term I use for the employees.
Yeah.
Is the cigar tender.
So one thing I noticed about the show this year versus last year was I liked the setup. Mm-hmm. Of how they had it going, because you had the main walkway, you had that thoroughfare that was very wide. Most people could get through it. It really didn't get congested. And then you spread off into either left or right. And it seemed like it was very well set up. In Vegas, it was a friggin' maze. It was just ridiculous.
Left turn, right turn.
Everything was just congested and very spread out. There was wide walkways, but there was no rhyme or reason. It was like going through an ant maze last year.
Well, somebody told me that they didn't have the vapor section.
It was all mixed in. It was all mixed in.
See, and I like the fact that I didn't have to even look at those guys.
Yeah.
Because I have nothing to do with them. We don't sell them. So it's like, I don't want to have to walk past those booths and be like, no.
Yeah, and that's that was bad. The bad thing about last year was the vapor guys, the hookah guys, all the massage therapy things and the other weird stuff was all mixed in together. So you'd have, like, you know, Drew Estate booth and then massage guy and then the vapor dude and then Padron.
See,
it was just really odd.
That doesn't make sense. Plus, the vapor guys are the ones that, personal opinion, that's why the FDA is getting all involved in wanting to, you know, examine cigars and get those FDA approval, because some guy's making something in his backyard and selling it as a vape or flavored cigarette or whatever, and you don't know what's in it, but with tobacco, it's like it's a rolled up leaf. Somebody aged it and you set it on fire. I mean, there's no other additives or preservatives.
It's pretty crazy.
But now they're going to get. I don't know. It's a tax thing. It's a.
It's a mess.
It's a giant mess.
It's a giant mess.
You know, it's just, you know, hey, we don't smoke, so you shouldn't either.
Exactly. So okay, so now IPCPR, the way the show's set up is it's 5 days. And
And I think I was
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, I wasn't there Tuesday.
Friday was the first day, but it was all the seminars and crap. Did you go to any of that?
Didn't go to any of those.
Any of them?
No.
So most of them, they'll have seminars, and sometimes they're basically like how to run your store better, what is the FDA doing, stuff like that.
That, I would have liked to have gone to the FDA one.
Yeah, me too.
That would have been... that would have been interesting, because I'm curious about that, because you keep getting all the rumors and what was it, the cigar, I can't think of the Cigar Rights of America.
Yeah.
Was that conducted by them, I'm guessing?
Yeah, they had that,
I did go to the TCMA, the Texas Cigar Merchants
Association.
TXCMA. And that was interesting, and also a little bit scary.
Yeah.
When you realize some of the stuff that well-meaning politicians are trying to do just in the state. I mean, that's all FDA stuff aside.
Yeah.
And it's stuff that it's like, look, this, I'm not saying I want to smoke in your restaurant. I'm not saying I'm trying to, you know, go smoke in a public park. I just want to go to a cigar shop and smoke. But then there's all these things that they want to tack on. And of course, vice tax. It's like, well, we can't afford this.
Yeah.
So we'll tax people who have a vice.
Which
they're
is
called,
BS.
They're called fees.
Yeah.
But yeah, it makes no sense.
It does. It
we
does
got
not.
The lottery in Texas, for God's sake. I mean,
I know.
Wasn't that supposed to be the salvation?
It was. Yeah, it was. If that's not a vice, gambling. Come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I'm one that thinks that we should have smoking in public parks. Just have a smoking section. But that's
I'm with you. You're outdoors.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's not going to get in your lungs. It's not going to get in your hair. And if you've ever been outdoors in Texas, it's like they probably worse stuff in the air anyway.
Exactly. So. If you know about the law they passed in Frisco, right?
Oh, yeah. That irked me to death. Not because I was working at a Frisco shop at the time, and we've got a little, I don't know if it's on the square, it's right in front of City Hall. I don't know if they call it a park, but you can't smoke out there. And we'd get events, I don't know, music, whatever. Guys would come in, smoke, grab a stick, so you get some new customers, and they'd walk around and smoke. And now it's like, no. And then they change it to possession. Like, what are you going to do? Shake a guy down to see if he's got cigarettes on him or a cigar? And it was such a jump because, if I remember, they tabled it to decide whether they were going to allow smokeless tobacco. Because God forbid your kid sees somebody spitting tobacco. You know, because that's a lot worse than just spitting.
Exactly.
But then it went from that to, nope, no tobacco in the parks at all. It's like, you know.
So let's see. Now I can't have a legal product on my possession in a public park. I can get fined for that.
A non-intoxicating possession.
That makes
it's
no
not like
sense.
I'm sitting there drinking a 40 in the park and getting belligerent.
But they can have events at parks where they have
sell
a crap ton of wine and liquor and booze and you get belligerent and shoot somebody.
Who's not been
to
a concert when it's 110 degrees and all you've had is beer going, no, I'm staying liquefied. I'm hydrated. It's like, no, you're drunk. And then they pass out, and then they have to send for EMS. It's the demonization of it is what I don't get. You know, it's funny. Josh, who you know, he said, you know what? When we could smoke in offices, send a man to the moon. Since they banned smoking in offices, haven't sent a man to the moon. Causation, correlation, I don't know, but he is correct.
That's crazy.
You know, Ben.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's
Demolition Man, I'm telling
you. It really is.
Not a great movie. But that's what the world's going to come to, is where, no, you can't do this, you can't do that, because we've decided it's bad. And that's where it gets me, is who are you to tell me it's bad?
Yeah.
And I think when people say, no, I'm for smaller governments, like, yeah, when it pertains to stuff you like, but not to stuff other people like. And it's like, well, that's just big government.
Exactly.
I really think that everybody who was a hall monitor just grew up and was like, you know what? Pick on me in school? Get you now, and it's that same mentality. So.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If it's a legal product, I should be able to do it. I shouldn't have people telling me I can't do it,
right?
And charging me more because I'm doing it. It just doesn't. I mean, if that's the case, just don't make it legal. You know, why is it legal in the first place?
Yeah, the mob would love for us to make it illegal.
Oh yeah, because then we'd have speakeasies for cigars and everything else. You know?
Prohibition did a great job for the mob.
It did a great job.
Ask Al Capone how that an entire empire built on illegal booze. I don't know. It seems a little too puritanical.
It does.
Yeah, I sound like a raging hippie, but...
I agree with you. Know, it's getting...
Rules are there for a reason, but when it's something like that, it's like, this really doesn't affect anybody. But all that said, man, we're lucky in Texas, because a lot of states... You know, we're getting all these guys moving here from California with Toyota. And we'd ring them up, and they're like, are you sure that's right? And I'm like... Does he think I overcharge? He goes, no, shouldn't it be more?
Yeah.
And they're used to paying that higher tax in California. I've heard people complain, cops got sent out to their house because they're smoking in their backyard in California.
Jeez.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason nobody wants to live there anymore.
I hope we don't get a whole lot of more Californians here, because it's just like, you know what's going on in Austin, right? The whole smoke thing over there. Now they're trying to... In not just cigar shops, because cigar shops already have filters built into them and they've got that taken care of. But now in actual barbecue restaurants, they're making them put a $100,000 filter on a barbecue restaurant so that the smoke that comes out of the restaurant does not smell.
That's part of the beauty of it.
It's part of the beauty of it. But all these people from California moved in the development right next to all these barbecue shops, and they're saying that their houses smell like barbecue now, so they don't want that.
That's when you call them up and say, you know what, you're welcome.
Yeah.
What are they, vegans?
I guess, who knows, but that's past. I mean, that's going. That's now going, and there's a lot of shops a lot of barbecue places that are moving outside of Austin now, or just shutting down because they can't keep the business going.
See, that makes no sense. You're crippling business, and yet Texas is big on, hey, pro-economy, pro-business.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to listen to a few knuckleheads. By the way, was the smell there when you bought there?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I don't get is shops and strip malls. It's like, well, you put your business in after the cigar shop.
Yeah.
You knew what was there. Don't act surprised. But I at some point, I really believe all cigar shops are going to have to go standalone.
Oh,
it's going to be the only way just to keep everybody out of there. out of their business.
That's like thing in California with the Sriracha thing, too. That guy put that big facility there, and then they're, oh, you got to shut it down. And, like, we were here first. What are you doing?
You know, and it's just a few knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the number of people who are against it, there's more of them than the people who are complaining.
Yeah.
But somehow they have a louder voice. They're like, oh, it's not fair. Like, well, you know what? Sometimes that happens. I don't like going outside sometimes and smelling what I smell, but, you know, that's just part of life.
Go somewhere else. That's the whole thing. Absolutely. You know, it's that easy. And the thing that annoys me about cigar smokers in general, and this is, I'm talking about you guys, is that by and by they're pretty lazy. I mean, they don't, you know, when you tell them about what's going on with the, I mean, I go into shops every day, all day,
right,
5 days a week, and I tell them about what's going on with the FDA, and 90% of them have no freaking idea what's going on. It's like they're just in this little bubble, and this is how they get away from things and have a good time, but they're not paying attention to what's going on with it.
And this affects their livelihood as a shop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't get. We're all lazy to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see some like, hey, they're trying to do something to that guy's stuff, but I don't do that, so what do I care?
Exactly.
But it's like, this is your livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be aware of what's going on. Maybe send a letter. Maybe make a phone call. Especially with the Texas, the TCMA, the Merchants Association, they need to be aware, like, hey, you've got people you're electing in Austin,
mm-hmm,
that are representing your district that are, you know, proposing things that are going to affect your business.
Yep.
But I think most people, with few exceptions, national news is where everybody gravitates to. You open the front page, it's like, oh, what happened in the world?
Yeah.
And you're thumbing through going, what happened in my community? But really, the Texas things are going to impact us more than the federal things, I think.
I think so, too, yeah.
So,
and that's really what it's coming down to, is the federal's got its own thing. FDA is going to do its own thing. But then individually within each state, there's all these other things that are coming
that
in,
too. That they're going to be able to, and think about it, say, God forbid, the FDA thing goes through, and they're now required to submit cigars for approval.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you have the state of Texas come in and put all these other regulations. It's going to make it even that much harder to run a business.
Yeah.
So you've got to get together. And, it's really one of those things. It's like, you know what, write a check.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does affect you. And then these five guys are going to go speak on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But write the check. And it's cheap, $250 a year.
Yeah.
So anybody listening, if you're not a member of the TCMA,
mm-hmm,
just write the check for $250.
And if you're not a member of the CRA,
you got to do that too.
Yeah.
Because they're all over this stuff.
Yeah, Cigar Rights Association and the Texas Cigar Merchants Association. They're both out there fighting for us to make sure that we can still do this lovely hobby whenever we want to, and at least hopefully some places.
If we raise enough money, we can buy a lobbyist. I mean, everybody else does.
I'm sure we could, yeah.
You know, that wouldn't be... I mean, you look at some of the stuff, it's like, who did they pay off?
Right.
And I'm of the opinion all politicians smoke cigars.
Yeah.
So, and are alcoholics.
Yeah, that's not far from the truth, believe it or not. You know,
I it was funny. I got involved for a brief period of time with one of the parties, and soon realized you're no different than the other guy.
Mm.
You know, you're just, you're chasing skirts and getting drunk, and you really don't care about it. You care about the fact that you got elected,
mm-hmm,
which to me is just pathetic and sad.
Because
it's like you just really don't care. Now, mm-hmm, if I had a check I was going to hand you, I'm sure you'd glad hand me, but other than that, they're like, yeah, whatever. So you got to unfortunately have lobbyists to go and at least present your position.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't have that kind of money.
It's a scary time,
so,
man.
Write a check for $250 to the TCMA,
mm-hmm,
if you haven't already.
If you have a shop in Texas,
yeah,
please become a member of the Texas Cigar Merchants Association. It's a must-do. I mean, you have to have the representation. You have to be involved. Otherwise, it's going to come down to it, and it's going to happen. There's going to be all these restrictions, and you're going to be like, when did this happen? How come I didn't hear about it? Well,
yeah, exactly.
You're not involved.
I didn't know.
You're not involved. So,
yeah,
don't be surprised when and if it does happen.
Sometimes we have to actually do work when it comes to, our hobby and put a little effort into it. So this is one of those times.
Definitely.
We're all in it together. band together. We'll make a cigar. It'll say band together on it.
Yep. It'll taste like crap, but it'll be $10.
Hey, the money goes to a good cause.
Exactly. Just buy it. Shut up.
Nice crap cigar. It's all short fill.
God, that'd be horrible.
Give it to your buddies. Everybody has that cigar they give to buddies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I got burned on that. I would buy like $5 cigars because like, oh, no. This guy smokes. He's a cigar smoker. He likes cigars, which means he smoked two over the last 5 years and says he enjoyed them. So I give him a $5 stick, and he smokes like a third of it and sets it out. Like, hey, that cost me $5. Mm-hmm. It was a decent stick. So I just get the absolute cheapest short fill, take the band off and be like, hey, you're going to like it.
That's good stuff right here, buddy.
And then, yeah, and then they smoke a third of it, and they're like, that was fantastic. And then they let it go, and I don't care. So,
all right, so we're going to take another break. We'll come back for the last third, talk a little bit about Nolens. Mm-hmm. Lovely city of Nolens.
Beautiful place.
It smells like piss. We'll be back. And we're back for the last third. I am still smoking the Dissonant Soapbox Lancero, and he is still smoking the A. Flores Grand Reserve Sun Grown. He's been smoking for about 8 hours now.
I'm a slow smoker.
So what did you think about New Orleans as a venue for the show? It was your first show.
Yeah.
And you went to New Orleans. Had you been to New Orleans before?
That's the Never. So that was everything I knew about New Orleans was just what I'd heard. TV shows. So, I know NCIS is now doing a show there. But, you know, you always hear stories, watch episodes of Cops, all of that. First time. It is humid as hell.
Yep.
It was miserable.
It's like walking through a wet sock. It's really it's really bad, yeah.
Yeah. It, honestly, the wet sock probably smells better.
Yeah. Probably. Okay, piss-soaked wet sock.
It was like stale piss.
Yeah.
And then the humidity hits it, and it just starts coming up. It was just... And somebody told me, like, well, you know, you get arrested if you pee on the streets. In New Orleans, I'm like, so what's with the smell? They're like, well, the cops let them finish. Which I get, but it's like, well, you know, and then you see people hosing down the streets. Like, I get it. But it's like, this is disgusting.
I tell you this, it smelled better than the last time I was there. It really did.
Oh, wow.
Because the last time I was there, it was not only piss, but vomit and just
probably had some vomit in there.
Yeah, it was just really bad.
Did I tell you the dead body story?
No. What?
So, what? Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. God. Disclaimer, probably not, but then it kills the mojo. Walking down the street, it was a street. It wasn't like a back alley. Mm-hmm. And
what time was this?
9 o'clock.
Okay.
We got in on a very early flight. Nothing was open, so we're just wandering around going, hey, there's got to be something.
It's 9 a.m.?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it took a 6 a.m. flight. And it was just god-awful hot. And there's this old leather sofa out on the street, and somebody laying on it.
Okay.
And the first thing me and then Josh, another buddy, noticed was like the feet looked like they'd been laying tar paper. Mm-hmm. It was just coated in black. But we're like, oh, you know, somebody drunk and passed out. Lee said, I think they were dead. I'm like, what? And he goes, well, you know how they say that when you die, you lose all bodily functions and all of that? He goes, yeah. He goes, your pants was a huge poop stain.
Oh, God.
And so it was like, oh, we missed that. And it's like, he's like, hey, not my city, not my problem.
Yeah.
And so we got a kick out of telling everybody, it's like, we think we saw a dead body. And there was a guy taking out trash
right next to
the sofa. Like, it was nothing. It's like, that's not good for tourism. This is not going to make me say, hey, I'm going to come back.
Wow.
People were polite enough, but it was just like, in the middle of the day, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Now, in San Francisco, I would play hippie or hobo.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, is this a life choice?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you just down on your luck?
Mm-hmm.
There, I couldn't tell, you know. You saw the street performers. That was, you know, some of them were kind of cool. They wouldn't hassle you. Just, hey, you know, I'm going to do my art.
I didn't see any of those. Buck.
You never got out of the booth.
Yeah, well, I went down to Bourbon Street a couple times, but I never saw a street performer.
Narrower than you would think?
Yes, yeah. But yeah. I had been there before. But
okay.
It all, and it's different during the day when there's less people on it. You know, it seems a little bigger, but when it's packed. I mean, you get there at night and it is, there's no room to get around people. You're just basically bumping into people all night.
So. I found myself always watching over my shoulder because you hear the stories. And
I have a money clip in my front pocket, so I never worried about that.
See, but, always carry my wallet in my front, so I wasn't worried about that. But it was just, okay, I'm coming up on a blind corner, and I'd walk a little further out just to make sure nobody could jump out at me. So I was always just waiting for something to happen. And then it rained at one point, and that didn't help the smell at all because then it was just more humid. And I sound like I'm trashing the city, and I probably am, but it was just... Once I get hot and I'm humid, then I'm in a bad mood anyway.
Yeah.
So
one thing I do like about New Orleans is it seems that there's a lot of history there.
Amazing history there.
And
amazing.
You go to Houston, you don't get that. You go to Dallas, you don't get that. It just seems like.
Well, yeah, in Dallas, we tear everything down. After
exactly,
10 years,
exactly. I'm surprised.
This is Texas, yeah.
I'm surprised Dealey Plaza is still there. I'm surprised it's not a shopping
mall. No, we could put a
point.
CVS up on that Dealey Plaza. We'll put up a little plaque on the wall. Seriously, in Texas, if we see undeveloped land, we're like, you know what looked good there? Some concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who was it in Kansas City? Jim Gettys or whoever it was that was the concrete mobster that was his business. You would think he's here because we pave. Everything.
Oh yeah.
And so it's always just, you know, miserably hot wherever you go. But yeah, the history there was unbelievable. It's like you guys should clean this because that's really old and that's got a great story behind it.
Yeah.
That was the other thing. They did tours at all hours.
Yeah.
I guess somewhere like a ghost tour or something, but they had people out touring at all hours of the day.
Yep.
And then there was always the guy like, hey, swamp tour. Like,
you want to see some dead bodies, that's where you go. A swamp tour. See some dead bodies. So what did you get to do? Did you get to go out anywhere? Any good restaurants? Anything like that?
I went to a local pizza place, burger place, but Cafe Du Monde was, again, I...
That was the big one for you?
It was, but I sat inside because I'm not a local. It's like, I'm not sitting out in this humidity.
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen.
Didn't get there this time. Went last time. I had a good time.
It is fantastic. I can see why the locals love it. And I love the fact that it's like, hey, this is cash only. Mm-hmm. It's a bustling business. It's like, you know what? There's a lot to this. I love the fact that it has that old vibe of like, hey, this is the place you walked into.
Mm-hmm.
And we do two things, and we do two things really well.
Mm-hmm.
Not this, hey, not only do we do beignets, but now we've introduced breakfast beignets.
Right.
Where now you can get, you know, egg and sausage inside your beignet.
No.
It's like, no, these are what we do.
Yeah.
Enjoy. And I like that. They didn't get too fancy.
Yeah, the first time we went to New Orleans, we were using the GPS thing to figure out where Cafe Du Monde was. And it took us to a small version of it in an underground mall. And I was like, this is not Cafe Du Monde.
Oh, over the one by the the Hilton in the conference center? Yeah.
So I was like, what the hell? We got there. We're like, do we get
like
beignets here or do we go to the right one? Like, I guess we should go to the right one. So we ended up finding the correct one. But... That was a little bit of a letdown.
So you were used to the convention center then?
Yeah. I've been there
before. It's like, hey, we're in the convention center. No, you're at that end.
Yeah, you got to walk 5 miles to the other end.
Unbelievable.
Did you guys have shuttles?
No.
No, you didn't have shuttles?
No, we were with walking distance. So.
Oh, okay.
In fact, one day, after the first day, my legs were shot, and I was like, I'm taking a cab.
Yeah, but walking distance is sweating distance. It's not...
True,
you're sweating,
true. Yeah, it's like now it's going to take me 20 minutes just to cool off.
Where were you at? Were you at the Hilton?
Something
or
Suites?
No. I don't know where you're at.
Yeah, I don't...
Hampton Suites or one
yes,
of those.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes.
That was like
so, I mean,
the
it, was, it wasn't even a full mile, but a little more than across the street. But, I mean, like a 15-minute walk.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you're just soaked. But the first morning, I think it was the morning of the breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I got a cab and tell the guy where we're going. He goes, you couldn't walk? So, I mean, the whole ride was $5. So I'm like, all right, here's 10.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I made you get out of line. He was hoping for that big airport fare.
Right.
Or whatever it was. So it's like, all right.
We had a shuttle. So that was cool. We didn't know until the second day that we had a shuttle. But the first day was a lot of walking.
Did you go to the breakfast on Saturday?
I didn't go to the breakfast, no. We were working up until the... Yeah.
Oh, up until the floor opened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't.
That was one thing I noticed about the difference between having it in Vegas versus New Orleans is in Vegas, everybody seemed to go to the events that IPCPR was doing. So the breakfast, everybody went.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because it's a new... It, It's been in Vegas for years.
Yeah.
And now it's somewhere different. Yeah. So now it's somewhere different. Plus, there's a lot more cool things to do in New Orleans, you know, that you don't necessarily get to do all the time. So I think when you look at Facebook and you're trying to look at where your clients are going to be, you know, and stuff like that, everybody was at Cafe Du Monde. Everybody was at another restaurant. What's that? The Acme Oysters or whatever that.
Oh, yeah.
So they were all over the place. Hemingway's, Don Leoncio.
See,
all
people
over
were
the
asking
me,
you're going to try shrimp? You're going to try oysters? It's like neither one are kosher. So no.
Yeah. I had really good oysters.
Kind of
yeah.
That just never, I don't know. I never. Yeah. Even just the thought of it, just like that, doesn't really appeal. But I had some good food. It was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Free breakfast at the hotel.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm all about the free breakfast.
We didn't have free breakfast. We had the buffet, but you put it on the room. It was like $10, and it was all you could eat.
There you go.
They made omelets
there
and stuff, so it was fine.
Fighting the, you know, make your own.
Yeah.
Belgian waffle.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I just did a bagel and some cereals.
Was it shaped like Louisiana?
No.
Because they have those in Texas. You know, they have the ones that are shaped like Texas all the time.
This is Texas. We love Texas shape. We're going to put it in the shape of Texas. We're going to make it bigger because it's Texas. We're
going to
do all of this stuff. We're very proud here.
Shinerbach flavored waffles. It's great. I'm just kidding. They don't have that, but they should.
I was going to say, I think you've just discovered something because I'm pretty sure somebody's going to try that now.
Right.
Maybe me. Somebody's going to do it. Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. Our own beer, the state beer of Texas, which
is considered a foreign beer when you go to any bar. It's always considered
an
import.
Yeah, you can never find it. Well, when I lived in Kansas, I'd always come home and be like, you know, bring back Shiner and give it to friends. Like, this is really good. Can we get it? Like, no.
Yeah.
No. I was such a snob when I was in Kansas.
No, but it annoys me when you're in Texas and you go to a bar and you get, like, what's domestic? It's like Bud Light, Coors. Okay, well, is Shinerbach domestic? Because it's made here. No,
yeah,
that's considered import. Like, imported from where? Down the street? Like, what are you talking about?
This was a lot closer than, you know, what they mean is it's a good beer, so we're
going to charge you more, an extra couple bucks.
Your Coors Light's not that great, sir, so we're not gonna upcharge on it because we'd never sell it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Man, I remember there was a bar I went to when I was in El Paso. This is early 90s. Still find a Lone Star in a can for 25 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that kind of clientele, they bought a lot of it. I didn't. I was doing other cheap beer, but yeah, it was like, I can't pull the trigger on Lone Star.
Lone Star. Nastiness.
Yeah.
More water-based than Coors, I think. Maybe just a tad.
If that's even possible. Apparently, yeah. Coors used to be good. That's what my dad told me.
Yeah. I've heard that, too.
I'm like, when was that?
Yeah.
Because that's when you had to open the can with the actual
With the old pull tab.
Yeah. And then you pull you put a hole on the other side so you get the ventilation.
Yeah. Back in the day, man.
Oh,
old
yeah.
school stuff. Old
My dad
school.
Said we used to drink Schlitz and it was good. Then we started calling it shit.
Because it gave you the shits, yeah. That's why I don't drink Budweiser. It gives me the muddies to call the Bud Muds.
Oh.
Just, yeah, it's bad news.
I knew a guy, he used to be able to quote like the whole label, the top label about the pride and tradition and all of that.
Budweiser?
I'm like,
how drunk were you on the toilet when you were learning that?
Yeah, like, it was at that point. It's like, I need to get in a meeting or better friends, one of the two. I went with the better friends thing, and it worked out well for me. Cigar guys are much better.
Right. So which booths that you saw were you know, tops, tip-tops, like you thought they were a really cool presentation?
Other than the PDR booth, where I took a nap?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
No, you did have a nice one.
Yeah,
it was a great
cool
color scheme.
Yeah.
The color scheme was great. That red, black, and white, it looks great.
The AJ Fernandez booth was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, you could just kind of hang out. It was set up.
I think they got an award. Didn't they get an award?
They may have.
They got an award. Crown Hits. I think they just gave all the awards right there at that one.
Crown Hits got an award?
Right there. They were right next to each other.
Crown Heads was just small for as well as they're doing and as big a force as they are in the industry now. Rather small booth, but it was kind of groovy looking. Fuente had a sexy booth.
I didn't even see that.
It was again Fuente World.
Yeah.
But it was just too much stuff.
Yeah.
And especially when you're not releasing anything new.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's Fuente, so
I think there's a certain mindset where if you're a big guy, you have to have a really big booth, even though you don't necessarily need it. Like Padron, Fuente, they don't need a big booth. They could have 4 or 5 spaces and still sell a shit ton of cigars, but it's, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, I guess, or something. You know, Drew State's the same way. They have this humongous booth.
Well, and Davidoff had a gigantic booth.
Didn't see that one either.
most of it was devoted to the American barrel aged.
Oh yeah.
It seemed, but they had some cool stuff.
The new Camacho thing or whatever.
The Camacho barrel aged. I got to sample that.
Did you get to meet any of the cigar celebrities that you wanted to meet?
No. I saw Matt Boothwalker. Actually, the day I went to register, I was just walking with a buddy, and then he's just walking. He's like, "Hey, guys. All right."
Then I ran into him on Bourbon Street.
Yeah?
He wasn't putting words together.
Yeah. See, that's when I should have met him. We were going together to go see Abe,
because I was going back to where Abe was, Abe Flores from PDR. And he's like, "I'll go with you." I'm like, "Okay, fine." So we started walking. Then he's like, "Oh, hot dogs." And he ran off. So that was the last I saw Matt Booth.
I had a buddy try one of those hot dogs. It didn't turn out well.
I can imagine.
But no, Matt. Such a cool dude.
Matt
Booth. I take flack from friends because they're like, "Oh, you just love anything, you know, 101 does." It's like, I do like their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, man. If you just get to do what you like to do and not care, and you can keep the lights on, I'm like, more power to you.
Yeah, for sure.
I have no issue with that. And ran into him over in, didn't run into him, but saw him in the Alec Bradley booth, and he had on some weird pants.
Yeah, those looked like he had a dump in his pants.
Yeah,
they were down past his.
Yeah, it was like the crotch hit the knee. Like he got him from a really fat MC Hammer.
Exactly.
But it was like, whatever, he doesn't care, and I like your cigar, so
he's got a crazy style to him, and that's cool.
He does. I'm not going to fault him for it. He seemed like he'd be a cool, affable guy.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Pete Johnson in his booth. Didn't get a chance to talk to him or anything. Huber was cool over at Crowned Heads.
Yeah, he's a cool cat.
We talked about pants.
Did you talk about
he wears Ben Davis and some Dickies, and I'm always wearing Dickies.
Mm-hmm.
So he seemed like a cool guy, just kind of laid back.
Yeah.
Not really, didn't seem full of himself.
Yeah.
Because you always get those guys.
There's a couple of those guys there.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Velvet Rope. It's like, come on. But, you know, I get it. I mean, I can see people can be annoying. But everybody I met seemed, you know, except for DuPont.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seemed really nice. I didn't want to go to the DuPont booth. But I was like, you know, see how this is going. I'm not dressed appropriately to come buy your very expensive lighter. Well, you know, whatever. I put a $14 insert inside my Zippo so I can have a torch.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with it.
Right, right.
So I don't need...
I have a Zippo that I need to do that with, actually. I keep saying I'm going to buy one of those, but I need to.
They're great, man. I mean, they last a while. I mean, it's not the last lighter you're ever going to buy.
Yeah.
But it lasts a damn long
time.
Either
the single flame or the two flame?
I prefer the single.
Angle?
Well, because they do their double at an angle, and it's, I don't know, it seems more work.
Yeah.
But
I tend to like single flame lighter anyway. Yeah. It's very precise.
I've seen some cool soft flames, but it's like, I don't like soft flame.
Yeah.
Because it just dances around the head of the cigar, and if I need to touch up one spot, like you said, that single flame, it's like spot welding.
Yep.
It's like I can just hit that one spot, get it going, and I don't char it.
Yeah.
And that soft flame, I'm just perpetually charring it.
Yeah. Single flame with a good-sized canister is a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Make more of those, people.
See?
Out there.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Table light. You know, and I found out there's this one particular light, they talked about it in the aficionado, Siglo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this cool retro 50s looking lighter.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. They're not in the IPCPR catalog, nothing. Go to their website, the phone number. Nobody picks up the phone.
Oh, wow.
Start scrolling through. They're in China.
No.
I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. Why did aficionado put something in here for them when I want their lighter and now I can't get it?
Right.
So, and I'm too lazy to fill out the information on the website. Not that interesting. It's going to take work.
God.
It's hard to fill stuff out on your iPhone.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not easy. They don't make it easy.
No, they don't. But it's a cool looking lighter.
But where would you be without your iPhone?
I don't know, man. It's like a low jack anymore. It's
it
always goes off. And I didn't get an iPhone until I got married.
Yeah.
Or not an iPhone, but I didn't get a cell phone.
I fought the iPhone for a long time. I had an Android when I first got on the road.
Yeah.
But then my wife and daughter got an iPhone, and they wanted to FaceTime, so I had to go get a friggin' iPhone. So, but now with all the trouble Android's going through, I'm kind of glad I have an iPhone.
Yeah, now it works out. But, and, you know, I'm able to do the videos. I can do iMovie on it.
Mm.
you know, the Facebook updates, the Twitter updates, which I always feel like I have to apologize to people. It's like, I'm not ignoring you. I'm doing work. This is actual. I'm right. I am sending emails on my phone. I'm not texting people.
Yeah.
LOL. So, by the way, you're not supposed to do that. There was a thing on Facebook.
Oh, what's that?
It apparently, every time you put LOL, it stands for Lords of Lucifer or something.
What?
Yeah, apparently Satanists end all their services with it, and it
have taken
stands
that over.
For LOL. Yeah, so now you're not supposed to do it, or you're in league with Beelzebub.
Cool.
To which
cool.
I replied, LOL.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, because, you know, KISS, Kids in Satan's Service.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, how much time do you have?
Well, also Knights in Satan's Service. So,
oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Listen to them backwards.
Right.
I remember there was somebody...
Just as shitty as forwards.
Hey, KISS knows one song, and they play it really well. They asked us, who was it? They were talking to...
My first concert was KISS.
Yeah? Did you go all decked up?
No, I was a little kid. I was like 7 or 8 or something. I don't remember. It was...
See, I think kids get them, because they're like, it's theatrics. It's
it is
monster
theatrics,
movie. It's, you know... They asked Angus Young of AC/DC. They said, how do you feel when people say you've made 15 albums that all sound the same? He goes, that's not true. We've made 16 albums that all sound the same. Like, we're going to ride that power chord to the grave.
Right, right. Yeah, that's pretty true, though. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The same way with KISS, for that matter.
Yeah.
And they tried to do the disco thing in the 80s, I guess. But
that did not end well. Or taking off the makeup.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. I'll tell you this. Gene is one of the best capitalists anybody can meet. And I bet if you Googled it, somewhere there's a KISS cigar.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because you can get a KISS coffin.
I'm Gene Simmons of KISS.
That was good.
He's got that very distinct voice.
He really does.
He does.
But he's, you know, at some point it's like, you know, you're a little too old for the suit, man.
Not a very good actor either. He did some movies for a while there.
Oh, what was the one with Selleck where they had the little animated
creatures?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think. It was like Selleck's first, see?
And that's Runaway.
Runaway. I was going to say, that's where your iPhone comes in handy.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a horrible movie. Christy Alley was in it.
Yep.
Sound like not a lot of luck at the theater.
No, he really didn't. He should have done Raiders of the Lost Ark. He should have left.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think what happened, there was a writer's strike, and then he would have had time to do it.
Yep. He'd already backed out of it.
Yeah, but he decided, he said he'd do Magnum. And
He did the High Road to China, which was his version of Raiders of the Lost Ark. It didn't do well.
No, he did Lassiter, where he was the spy. Mm-hmm. Her Alibi with Paulina Poroskova, which
I actually liked Quigley Down Under. I thought was a
Quigley was great.
He does good westerns. He does
he's
very
great
good westerns.
As a cowboy. Monty Walsh, The Last Cowboy. Mm-hmm. He knows that genre.
Yeah, he excels at that. And I liked In-N-Out. That was one of the other movies that I thought he was
that,
really good.
Yeah. Without the mustache. Mm-hmm. How many times do you expect Tom Selleck to say, I'm gay?
Exactly.
But because he played against type. And the whole movie wasn't on him. Oddly enough, the guy who played Kevin Kline's brother in that movie, the kind of dim-witted one.
Yeah.
He plays his assistant, right-hand man in Blue Bloods.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they're back together.
That's cool.
Because I went back and I was watching In-N-Out. It's like, hey, that's the same guy.
Yeah. Cool.
So, there you go.
And now we're on the movie page.
There you go.
Full circle with the podcast.
Full nerdy troop. Yeah. If you could have a theater where you could smoke, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
They need to do that. We need to figure that one out.
Hey, Studio Movie Group. And you know what? This is less annoying because one of the reasons I don't go to the theater is because I don't want to hear your feet squeak. I don't want to hear you munching popcorn, talking, slurping. I don't like any noise. Now you've added a full dinner with an actual plate and silverware. Mm-hmm. So now I get to hear you cut things and drop spoons on the floor during my movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, that does not
appeal. People coming back in and getting in the way and ordering beers and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just it's a pain in the ass.
Because they don't talk enough sober.
Yeah.
But see, with cigars, it's like, this is great. I'm just going to light it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no noise. The glow is not so much. It takes away from the screen.
Mm-hmm. I think they need to do it in one of those theaters that has the lounge, like the kickback seats and stuff, you know, so you can chill out. That'd be awesome.
I think all it does is really force cigar guys into have a really nice media room and just hang out at home.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you can smoke at home, which
exactly.
I can.
Lucky.
So, it came at a price.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Four dogs? Well, okay, so at the time, to be fair, our old house, two dogs outside. Can they be inside? Like, no. No, don't want inside dogs because I don't want it on the furniture. I don't want to clean. None of that. So I smoked in the garage. But the deal was, hey, if we can have inside dogs, you can smoke in the house. Like, nope, don't want them. So moved to our new house, and we had a freeze warning. And I'm not inhumane. I like the dogs. So it's like, yeah, they have to come in. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, I realized, hey, it's warm outside, and the dogs haven't gone back out.
Right.
So I went up to my office and lit a cigar. Mm. And I was like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm smoking. Like, you can't smoke in the house. Like, no. Do you remember 3 years ago when you said if we had inside dogs? Like, you can't honor that. Like, oh, no, I am. And somehow it's evolved. So first it was smoke in the office. Mm-hmm. And then it was, hey, I've just got a little bit left. Can we start the movie and I'll just finish this here? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then friends would come over who smoked. And it was like, okay, open the window. And now we've got like four people smoking in the living room. It's like, so now I just walk around the house just pretty much smoking.
Cool.
So, yeah. And, you know, now my office is going to, the carpet's going to have to be set on fire. But downstairs is hardwood, so you don't have to worry about the smoke. But
I would definitely have the hardwood thing. Or,
well, and like all the books in my office, you know. But it's like, they're my books.
Yeah.
What do I care?
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's nice to not have to be able to, or not have to sit outside. But, you know, the thing is, too, that without people being told not to smoke in their homes, we wouldn't have cigar lounges.
True.
So, it you know, it benefits us.
It's all full circle,
yeah. Definitely. It is. Well, and plus, you meet a lot of friends, and I'm sure you're the same way. Mm-hmm. You've met guys in shops, and that cigar is the common denominator. Mm-hmm. You know, I met a retired Navy admiral. The circles I run in, I'm not going to bump into that guy, and we're not going to strike up a conversation at Kroger.
Yeah.
But, you know, sitting in a shop, and you find out, wow, here's a guy who's had a hell of a career. Mm-hmm. It's nice that you can meet some of those people, and you do. You make some really good friends along the way, so... There's that aspect.
I'm still trying to get the smoke in the house thing. Now, my wife is against smoking. My daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, was cool with it until she got to be 16. Now she's not. The 6-year-old still thinks they're cool. She likes the way they smell. She likes to smell them when I get them and stuff, and she thinks it's neat. But the 16-year-old turned against me. But now my wife has a friend, a girl that's a friend, by the way, that smokes cigars. So every time they want to hang out, I'm like, yeah, let's go do it. So we go over to their house. They smoke in the house. Wife's like having a good time, laughing it up, nothing. I was like,
don't even think about it.
So, you're here, she's smoking a cigar, I'm smoking a cigar, and you're fine. Mm-hmm. Why can't I do this in my house? Well, it's different. I'm like, no, it's not different. It's the same thing. I'm like,
actually, it's not. My name's on the lease.
Exactly. You know?
I actually help pay for this.
She's like, well, you get to smoke every day when you're around. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll take
it. See, that's the thing. Nobody gets the fact. It's like, oh, you sit around all day and smoke. It's like, actually, to just sit and enjoy a cigar in peace and quiet is completely different than, hey, you're doing stuff.
Exactly.
Like I said, this one I'm smoking that you gave this to me, what, 7 hours ago?
Yeah.
And I'm still working on it because I kept setting it down, having to do stuff. You don't really get to just sit
and enjoy
like you could
it.
At your house. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of totally different experience.
That moment of zen.
They don't understand that either.
So. No.
Yeah,
I mean, all anybody
way.
Said, like, oh, you know, what a great job. It's like, and it does have, I mean, it's not
it's got its perks,
street.
But it is work.
It is
definitely work.
It is.
Know? There's times you go into a shop, you don't really want to smoke, but you have to sit down with them and smoke, and, you know.
Yeah, make nice. And exactly. And I appreciate you doing that humor.
No, I like smoking with you, because we get along. We have a lot in common.
This is true.
Yeah.
Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you, sir. So, that's gonna conclude today's episode. This is episode 216. Thanks for watching and or listening. As always, you can find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, YouTube. We're on Facebook and Instagram, PDR_Brandon and AJF Randy. So check us out all those places. And as always, it's been great smoking with you. Thanks for coming in and hanging out.
Man, thanks for having me.
Thanks for letting me hang out at your shop, rather.
No, anytime.
We're not supposed to smoke here.
And we're not.
We're not.
Not at all.
See you next time, guys.
Take care.